Great. Well, it's so good to be here with y'all. And it's funny. Yeah, Carrie and I, our husbands grew up together. And I have just a very distinct memory. I think I had met Carrie before, but I definitely remember walking our girls into nursery A. Anybody remember when it was like nursery A, B, and C? And so I remember going into nursery A and seeing Sweet Caroline and being like, oh, I like her. She's so sweet and cute. And maybe our girls will be friends. And now they are, which I'm going to get into sharing a little bit about that here in a few minutes. But I'm just so glad to be with y'all today. I've gotten to sit in the back of the room this semester and listen to all the talks and do this study with you guys. And it has been so good. I have really just enjoyed it. As many of you guys know, I stepped into this role in June. Carrie and I both did. She's been helping lead in Bloom for several years, but we both came on staff. I've been on staff for several years, working in our young adult women's ministry. And my role there was primarily with 20s and 30-year-old single women, many of whom are thriving and doing so well where God has them, and many of whom would love to be sitting where you guys are right now. And what I learned in that time, though, is just how much we as women need to be with women of all ages. The younger women, we need to be learning from those women that are a step ahead of us or two or three steps ahead of us. And older women need the energy and the passion of younger women. And so I love Bloom. I love seeing this room full of women coming together. And I can tell you, I am so thankful for the women who have invested in me over the years, many sitting in this room, and many who continue to invest in me just to help me as I grow in being a wife and a mom. And so leaders, know that your investment is making a huge difference. And also just to you moms, when you show up each week, you're not just showing up for you, you're showing up for each other. And that's one of the beautiful things here is we show up and we are reading the word together and praying for our husbands and our kids and encouraging one another. And the Lord really uses that as we walk on this journey together. So I just want to encourage you, make it a priority to be here for one another each week and just be a part of this time. And that's why I just really love what's going on here in Bloom. So before we get started today, I just wanted to share a little bit about my family, introduce you to them. So we've got a picture of them. That's my husband, Marty, there. Marty grew up here at Fellowship, and he is a counselor in private practice, and serves as an elder here as well. And we have three kids. Our oldest, Sydney, is the one standing right by me there, and Sydney is a freshman at the University of Arkansas. And it's funny, as I was looking around this morning at some of you with babies, it made me kind of teary. I don't know. Oh. And then Sophie is our 16-year-old. And she's a junior in high school. And then we have Will, who is 13, and he's in the eighth grade. And so it's really fun right now. I love these years. As Carrie was sharing, we've been friends for a long time. And so some of the things that are really funny about our life right now that we could not have planned, we did not know we would be working together this closely. And we were so excited about that. Well, also, our oldest girls are roommates at the University of Arkansas. And so they are having a great year up there, loving that. And then our next girls, Sophie and Annie, are also really good friends. And then Will and Charlie are good friends. So we kind of have a little match family. I'll share a couple of little proud moments, mom moments with you about Will and Charlie. So a few years ago, they were kind of in this season where they wanted to do themed Halloween costumes. And so I'm going to show you this first one. We have Goose and Maverick, and I think we killed it with this. I mean, look at Charlie's, can you see the mustache? I don't know if you can see the mustache. Charlie even has the mustache. It is so great. And so they had so much fun doing that, that the next year, which by the way, they didn't even know the movie Top Gun. We had to like explain to them who they were. And so then the next year, we had to come up with another one. And so let's look at this next picture. Anybody know who this is? Yes, this is Doc and Marty McFly. And again, we had to, you know, show them the movie and let them see who they were. So they've kind of outgrown this now, and we're kind of sad. We're holding out hope that we'll still get a Mr. Miyagi and Karate Kid or something. I don't know. But that's just been a lot of fun to get to raise our kids together. We were sitting in Bloom just like you at one point, and are still just wrestling through how we're raising our kids at different seasons. So three teenagers. And as I said, I really do love it. For those of you with teenagers, you know that this is a different season. It is exhausting in a whole different way than toddlers, right? So with toddlers, it's physically exhausting. You are running all the time. You are catching up with them. And in the teenage years, it is mentally challenging and emotionally challenging. In fact, I almost changed my talk today because I was up until midnight talking with my 16-year-old on this. I told her I was talking about, and she started saying, oh, I got things to say about this. And so she really did have some good things to say, and I'm going to actually save it for our Coffee and Conversation, which is a women's event coming up January 9th, where we're going to have women of all generations sharing with one another so that we can help one another understand different viewpoints. And I think that some of the things she was sharing will be really great for us to talk about on that night. So I hope you guys will join us for it. So as I said, in these years with our teenagers, we are helping them with all these different challenges. It's mentally and emotionally exhausting because they are dealing with new things, right? They're trying to figure out life, and we're trying to help guide them in that. And so today we're going to talk about one of these challenges. And this is a challenge that is, it affects us early, affects our kids early on, and it affects us still today. And that's the battle to believe and live in light of God's truth versus following our own ideas or what culture tells us. So how many of you have had a conversation with your kids where they're convinced they're right about something, but you know they're crazy, right? We've had those. Starting from the time they're little, when they're like, it's nap time, you can see that they are tired, you can know there's a meltdown coming, you know they're about to turn into a terror, and they are saying, I don't need a nap, I want to play, right? Okay, and we're like, no, you're crazy. This is not going to end well. Their idea of what is good is clearly different from what we know is good for them, right? So we're going to start off with a definition of relativism, because that's really what we're talking about today. As we talk about this concept of truth, this is what relativism is. And this is in your book, so you don't have to write it down. But relativism is the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, or historical context and are not absolute. So in other words, what's right for you is not necessarily right for me. That would be the relativist view. And I think we all know that that's a very popular view in our day, and particularly with younger people. So according to relativism, there is no absolute truth. I heard a story that I think really illustrates this well. Benjamin Watson is a tight end for the New Orleans Saints, and he and his wife have four kids. And Benjamin tells this story of his two-year-old who is laying on the bed. He's got his head hanging off the bed, looking up at the sky. He's looking out the window, and he says in his little two-year-old voice, wada, daddy, wada. And Benjamin's like, what is he talking about? And he turns around, he looks out the window, and this is what he says from his son's vantage point. The sky was crystal blue as far as the eye could see, like when the horizon meets an ocean of water. His son was convinced that that clear blue sky was water. The only problem is that his perspective was wrong. He was turned upside down, and so was his perception of the world. So have you guys ever found yourself there, right? Just kind of turned upside down, confused, unsure how to know what's really true? How can we be sure that we're walking in God's truth and not deceived by the culture or our own feelings? And so that's my hope and prayer for us today, is that you all walk away knowing that you can know and trust in God's truth. So today we're going to talk about three places where we find truth: God's Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've been in church, you're like, all right, the good old Sunday school answers, I got those. But I think as we talk about this, you'll be surprised to find how often we're tempted to find our truth in other places and by our culture of how much our culture of relativism is affecting us, each and every one of us, and those that we love. So we also need to know, how do we talk about this with our kids? How do we help our kids understand that there is absolute truth? So think about it. How do we answer the questions being raised in our culture today? Questions about sexuality, gender identity, abortion, euthanasia, What about the roles of men and women in the church and in the home? And what about our purpose as human beings? These are all questions that society wants to answer, but you guys, society is confused, and it is constantly changing its mind about what is right and wrong. But God doesn't change. I love, as Clarissa was leading this morning, and she talked about that, God does not change, and neither does his word. And so we'll start there this morning. We need to know God's word. If we trust his word for truth, then we've got to know what it says. So that means we read it, we study it, we memorize it, and not just the parts that fit on a t-shirt or a cute coffee mug, but all of it. We need to know God's word. So the Bible is one big story from creation to Jesus' return, and it helps us understand why there is sin and pain and suffering, and it gives us hope that he's with us and that we can find life in him. So we are a part of God's story. But it's not about us, it's about God. As the creator of the universe, God is the one who defines truth. The world was made by him and for him, and it is through his word that we learn who he is and how he's designed for us to live. So God does not change, and neither does his word. It is timeless and unchanging. It is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Let's just stop there for a minute. That's an amazing statement. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that his word, the Bible, is living and active. So that means that this book that was written thousands of years ago has the power to change lives even today. It is living and active. The Bible shows us who God is. And it's like a mirror as we see ourselves in light of God's standard. God's word reveals to us our sinful hearts and our needs for a Savior. It gives us wisdom to navigate life, hope when we despair, and truth in a world full of lies. As Proverbs 14:12 warns, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. The Bible confronts these false beliefs and shows us the path to life. And his word proves true. If you're at a place where you're not convinced, you look at the word and you think, I don't know, but you're willing to look at it and you're willing to investigate that, I want to encourage you, tell your leaders that. Tell me or Carrie that. We've got a resource called Explore that I think just does a great job of laying out truth of Scripture in a short, concise way for you, but also it shows how things that were prophesied in the Old Testament have been fulfilled in Jesus. And those are really affirming things to look at together. So I would encourage you, let one of us know. We'd love to have somebody walk through that with you. I love Psalm 18:30. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. So think about it. He made us. We are his creation. So we look to the creator for truth. And so he has given us his word so we can know the truth. And secondly, we need to trust in Jesus. Scripture tells us that truth is found in Jesus, the Son of God, who came to earth as a baby, lived the perfect sinless life that we could not live, died on the cross for our sins, and was raised again, conquering sin and death, so that we could have eternal life with him. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So not only are his words true, but Jesus himself is truth. So instead of looking to ourselves or to the culture to tell us the truth about life, we look to Jesus, the one who came to give us life. And as we place our trust in him, we find hope and wisdom to navigate this often confusing world. And then finally, we rely on the Holy Spirit. God has not left us to do this on our own. Before Jesus was crucified, he told his disciples that he would be going away, but that he would give them another helper to be with them forever. Look at John 14, 16, and 17. Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. Did you catch that? The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of truth. And listen to what Jesus says to them. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you, will be in you. If we have placed our faith in Jesus, we've been given the Holy Spirit. He is our guide. He's the one that reminds us of the truth of Scripture and points us back to Jesus. So these are the three places where we find truth: God's word, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you may be thinking to yourself, great, I got this. I've grown up in church. I live by his truth. I'm not swayed by all these radical relativist ideas out there. But let me ask you this. How often do we think to ourselves things like this? I'm not good enough. Or we find ourselves caring more about the approval of others than pleasing God. Or looking for fulfillment in earthly things. Or trying to control our life and the lives of others. Our pursuit of power, comfort, control, and approval, these things run counter to God's truth. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, take every thought captive to the will of God. Every thought. Not just the big controversial cultural issues of our day, but every thought. The battle to believe God's truth begins in our own hearts and minds. But we don't do this on our own. Just as we were talking about at the beginning, about coming to bloom and encouraging one another, God gives us strength, but he also gives us one another to encourage one another along this journey. And that's why I love our time here. I love what you all are doing. As a wrap up, I just want to share one last story with you, a personal story for me, of a time when I had to do some serious battle with the lies that I was believing. I was a young mom with 3 kids, 5 and under, and I was drowning. It was all I could do to keep them alive and fed, and I just had kind of lost a sense of purpose. And we had recently moved. We'd moved back to Little Rock after being in Memphis for several years, and our newborn, Will, was struggling with a heart defect and possibly going to need open heart surgery, and I was dealing with some conflict with a really unhealthy friendship. And I don't know about y'all, but for me, those lies came in the form of beating myself up. So it's all up here, you know. Oh, I didn't do this right, and I didn't do that right, and I should have handled this better and done this. And so I remember that one night, Marty just stopped me, and he said, okay, I want you to take out a piece of paper, and I want you to write down all these things that you are believing, that you know they're lies. Like, if you stop and think about it, you know this is not truth. And we're going to just go through and we're going to write down scripture next to those. We're going to write down the scripture of what God says. And I want you to keep it beside our bed, keep it on your bedside table. And when you start to go down that path again, pull it out. Remind yourself, pull that sheet of paper back out and look at it again. And so I did. And over time, I started to see that I was able to move from believing these lies to believing the truth. And so that's what it looks like. To take every thought captive and to live in light of the truth that we know. So we need to not only know the truth, but we need to live by it, right? And so if you remember at the beginning of this series, week one, we talked about identity. And we had a sheet of scriptures at the back of the room that were scriptures that tell us who we are in Christ. And if you didn't get one of those, we'll have extra copies here today. But this is what I want to ask you to do. Would you just take some time? We've got some time coming up here over Thanksgiving break, maybe, where you could just get a few minutes. Maybe you want to do this by yourself. Maybe you want to do it with a spouse or with a friend. But sit down and really think about, what are the lies that I'm believing, and where do I need to trust in God's truth? And make that list for yourself. And I would encourage you, write those scriptures out. Put them on a mirror. Put them on the dash of your car or on your desk, somewhere where you can look at them. And somewhere where you can be reminded of God's truth, that he is our firm foundation. And so I hope that that will be encouraging to you. I hope you'll take some time to do that. And that together we can encourage one another to live in light of God's truth. And so will you guys just take a minute and let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for these women who are gathered here. Lord, I thank you for their hearts to know you and to raise their children to know you. Lord, I thank you that you have revealed to us truth about who you are in your word. I thank you that you have sent Jesus to die on our behalf, and he was raised to life for us that we can have life with you. And Lord, I thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit as our guide. So Lord, would you help us, rather than being swayed by the culture, rather than being swayed by the lies that are out there, Lord, would you help us to trust in you and in the truth that you have given us. Lord, I pray for all these women as they head back to their families, as they head into the holidays. And Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen and encourage them, and thank you for our time here together. In your name we pray. Amen.